Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke, chapter 21, where we have been for a few weeks now. Been in the book of Luke for almost 2 years, and we're moving through slow but sure. Let us begin with this thought, according to the writer Alfred Edersmeyer. He says, Luke 19, 20, and 21 take place on the second and third day of Passion Week. Jesus will soon instruct his disciples to prepare his last Passover meal. He will institute the Lord's Supper. He will go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. He will be betrayed by Judas. He will be arrested, go through the mockery of illegal trials, and be beaten, crucified, and buried. Yet, knowing all this, he takes time to be with his disciples, teaching them, instructing them, and warning them. Shall we stand together? Luke chapter 21, we'll begin at verse 1, down through verse 7. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you that this poor widow has cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, as for these things which ye behold, the day will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Bless this sermon, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Our Lord has been questioned by the scribes, the elders, the chief of the people, the Pharisees, the Herodians, and the Sadducees. And now in verse 7, by his disciples. It all started with the arrival at the temple of this poor widow who had an offering for the Lord. And compared to the gifts of the rich men, her 2 copper coins seemed insignificant. But Jesus said that she gave more than all the others combined. Warren Wiersbe says, when it comes to our giving, God sees more than the portion. He sees the amount that is left over. And you know, so often we give what we think we can afford when the Lord says, give and it shall be given unto you. In the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul makes mention of those that were willing to give themselves first and then gave beyond. But we find here in Luke 21, verses 5 through 7, historians tell us that the temple was a beautiful structure, embellished with many costly decorations. Jesus told the disciples that the day would come when this beautiful temple, though, would be demolished. In chapter 19, he talks about the destruction of the city. Here he talks about the destruction of the temple. And questions were asked. Now, I personally ask a lot of questions. I find that the best way to carry on a conversation. I ask a question, you answer it. You ask me a question, I ask you a question, because I feel better asking you a question. When I was in high school, and boy, that's a long time ago now, in Algebra 2, I had a teacher named Mr. Johnson. Every girl in the class had a crush on Mr. Johnson. He was about 23 years old, blonde, good-looking guy, and all the girls just sat there looking at him. The guys, all of us, we were jealous. But I remember at the end of the year, the last day, he said this. He says, all of you should go over and thank Paul Madonna. And I'm thinking, why should any of them thank Paul Madonna? And then he said, because he's the only one that would ask questions. You know, we need to ask questions. The disciples asked questions. And here in verse 7, after hearing that this beautiful temple was going to be destroyed, they said, Master, but when shall these things be? And what shall be, what sign will there be? They asked questions. And so my sermon today is entitled The Do's and Don'ts of Looking Towards History's End. Number one, don't be deceived. Verse 8. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Now today, maybe people aren't saying they are Christ, but we have today in this politically correct society said that all religions are equal. That they're just different ways to God. And your God is how you see him or her or it. And so don't be deceived, folks. There is still only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. I don't care what others may promote. I don't care what they say. We're not to be politically correct. But we are going need to be right with God. Be right with God. Be right with the Word of God. This is where we need to be. So don't be deceived. Number two, don't be frightened. Beginning at verse 9. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. For these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdoms against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. May I say this, human history has been filled with wars. It has been filled with disasters, hurricanes, monsoons, droughts, and such. But be of good cheer, the Lord takes care of his own. Don't be frightened as to what is going on. We live in a world that is concerned because they only have their possessions. You that are a born-again believer, you have Christ. And you have something that is unsearchable and something that is of great value. Number three, don't worry about yourselves when persecuted, but witness to your persecutors. Verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Don't worry when you become persecuted, but witness to your persecutors, because after all, those that are really in trouble are those who oppose God's people. Those that oppose God's people, God's work, God's word, they are the ones that are in trouble. Those that oppose the word of God. To oppose means to trouble, to annoy, to hinder, to vex, to terrorize. They think that they are stopping us, but may I say this, the word of God has not been stopped. The church of God has not been stopped. Communism couldn't stop it. There are still churches there that were begun underground, as they were. And we know that they continue today, even in countries where the Bible is not allowed. In Muslim countries, the word of God is still preached and is still taught. And there are those who have church services. Verse 15 says, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom." May I say this? I believe he will give you what you have learned and what you have studied and what you have memorized. And when the time comes, you will be able to bring it back and be able to be a testimony. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Don't think it strange if you are persecuted at work for being a believer. Don't be surprised if there are some family members that don't invite you to their parties. Don't be surprised if there are those who have a work and invite people from your job, but they don't invite you because you are a born-again, Bible-believing Christian and that you are opposed to the language that they'll use. You're opposed to the stories that they will tell and that you are opposed to their lifestyle. Don't be surprised, but folks, be right with God. Be right with God. That's what's important. 1 Peter 2:12 says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may be, or may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Be a testimony. May I say this, in this world of technology, and you have cell phones, and you have the ability to send texts, and you have the ability to send email, be a testimony for Christ. Well, we are not to be ashamed of what we send. We should be able to let the pastor read it, and God to read it, because we are proper in our actions and in our attitudes. Number four, don't give up. Even when everyone seems to turn against you. Again, verse 16, "And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. In your patience possess ye your souls." Stand firm on the foundation of your faith, which is in Jesus Christ. Others may hate you, others may kill you, but the Lord told us, "Be not afraid of them that can kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed both killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Folks, we that know Christ as our Savior, we can stand on our firm foundation of Jesus Christ. But there are those that do not know Christ as their Savior, and there is a terrible time awaiting them. Number five, do flee when Jerusalem is besieged. In verses 20 through 24, we find that the Lord says that you to flee when the armies come. And verse 24 says, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled." Titus and the Roman army would come some 40 years later in 70 AD. And as Jesus foretold, they leveled the city. They leveled it because of the rebellion of the Jews. And Jesus said it would happen, and it did. Number six, do not take heart do take heart when the universe itself shows massive destruction, beginning at verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And then these things begin to pass. Then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Take heart, even when the universe itself shows massive destruction. Men's hearts will fail them for fear. Many have their security in the wrong things. May I say this? Our security is not in the government. Our security is not in our savings. Our security is not in education or our health system. Our security can only be found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Folks, we live in a sinful world. We live in a world that is dying, and we need to realize that Jesus is our security. He is the one to whom we can turn. Number 7, do exalt in the certainty of God's word, for it is trustworthy, however uncertain life may be. Verses 32 and 33, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God puts his word above his name. His word is truth. And man tries to downplay his word. What was the first temptation we find is that Eve was told, hey, do you really believe what he says? Talking about God. So that he was trying to cause her to doubt God's word. And today, society, they are still trying to make you doubt God's word. But God's word is true. It's trustworthy. And in every generation, where there are hard times, we can still lean upon the word of God. And then point number 8. You say, Pastor Paul, how many points do you have? I thought a good sermon only had 7 points. Well, nobody said this was a good sermon. It has 8 points. Okay, it has 8 points. Do be watchful, pray, and persevere, and so earn the approval of the Son of Man. May I say this? It's good when your wife says, boy, you did a good job on that. Yeah, it's good when your husband says, wow, that was a fine meal, or you did a good job on that. But when we have the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, wouldn't that be a blessing? That's something that you will remember for all eternity, that God said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's begin reading at verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, which means to eat too much, and drunkenness, and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. May I say this in our closing moments? Life has its pressures, and many times they're intense. But let's keep our eyes on Jesus, and let nothing distract us from serving him. Let us keep our eyes on the author of our faith. Let us keep our eyes on the goal. You know, as the mission conference comes, it's a desire to see what the missionaries have done. But it's also to encourage us to continue to give to the cause of Christ. so that we can continue to send out missionaries that represent the Covenant Baptist Church throughout the whole world. And how important it is that we remember that this is the desire of our Lord, to remain faithful until He returns. See, the Jews may require a sign, but the church is looking for the Savior. What if the Lord returned today? Are you prepared? What if He called you home? What if on the way home you met your end? If somebody comes across that little 6-inch yellow line and hits you head on. You know, we live in a world where people are on the cell phone while driving, and as you're crossing Shaner, and somebody is on the phone and they T-bone you. You say, well, I'm not passing Shaner. Okay, Van Dyke. Well, I'm not going down Van Dyke. Well, I'm sure we could find some road you're going on. Are you prepared? Is your life such that you can stand before the Lord with your head held high and saying, Lord, I did serve you and I was faithful and I was committed. Folks, we're told there in verse 28, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Shall we stand together? At this invitation time, you may want to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to remain faithful. May I continue to be committed. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. And you may want to come and pray that. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. This would be the day to do it. Because there is no guarantee of tomorrow. We need to be prepared. And we need to keep our heads high, looking for the redemption of the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, as we sing this invitation song, may it be a blessing and an encouragement to us to yield ourselves to you, giving ourselves, Lord, to you fully with the desire to have you say, well done. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.